In a new report, Hamas has been exposed for infiltrating college campuses.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Will Haynes is joining me in studio. We have CeCe Heil joining us later. And special guest Majid El-Shafi will be joining us in the back half of the show. So it's going to be a jam-packed one. This is some really disturbing news that has come out of the hostage crisis going on in Gaza. And this was, Will, a moment where we kind of all know that what happened to these college campuses was planned, was premeditated, but there wasn't exactly all the facts put together. Well, you find out that there was a writer for a Palestinian news source who was actually keeping multiple hostages who survived and escaped, were able to be brought back home. The person who was holding them captive is dead at this point. But what was exposed, according to the hostages, when they've been giving out information, the former hostages, they're not free, when they've been giving information to the Israeli government as well as to the American intelligence to say what was going on, they were told that he was using this paper, this news outlet, specifically to infiltrate college campuses, and it was doing it using a United States-based nonprofit.
That's right. So the captor was Abdallah Al-Jamal, and he was a writer for the Palestine Chronicle. That news outlet is run by the People Media Project. That's a United States nonprofit organization running the Palestine Chronicle. This wasn't just someone they found in Gaza to hold these hostages for him, the Hamas militants. That he was an active supporter of Hamas. He was a spokesman for the Labor Department of Hamas. He was a member of Hamas, writing for an American nonprofit. And what he told his captors was that Hamas is going to ensure that the United States, as well as Jews and Israelis, are hated everywhere, and that Hamas in Gaza was coordinating with its allies, including its allies in the media and on college campuses, to foment hatred against Israel and the Jews.
Yeah, and we know that that is what happened. I mean, the thing is, as much as we can say that that's crazy, it's not crazy because we saw it happen last summer or last spring, and we're seeing it happen again, which, again, it's a little harder when you have, you know, funeral processionals for small children. You know, they become a little more quiet then, but, you know, time gets passed on and this happens. But this is some disturbing evidence. And look, it's all reports right now, but evidence that the United States, again, a United States nonprofit, was really heavily featuring not only a writer that had anti-Israel point of view or anti-Semitic points of view. This is someone that was holding hostages in Gaza and was openly telling them that the plan was to infiltrate the United States. And it worked.
That's right. And when we would say that these protests, you know, were not pro-Palestine, they were pro-Hamas.
Right.
The thought was that maybe this can't be organic. This has to have coordination between groups. But what we're seeing now, it was actually being coordinated with the help, aiding and abetting Hamas. This was an actual coordinated effort by Hamas to try and turn Americans against Jews and Israelis.
Yeah, and there is a way that these families are taking legal action. We're going to discuss that in the next segment coming up, what they are doing, how that they can combat this from future happening, how you can hold U.S. organizations responsible for what's going on. We're going to talk about that coming up. We also have a few lines open right now. We got 5 lines open. Okay, we got one full right now. So 1-800-684-3110 to be on the air. CeCe Heil will be joining us in the next segment. Like I said, and a special guest, Majid El-Shafi, who's got a new film out. Again, it all ties together, so you're going to want to stay tuned for that. But look, we also are continuing our fight for life. We're going to have a little bit of a preview coming up a little bit later, because next week we'll start our big push for our campaign that's happening in Massachusetts. You're not going to want to miss that as well. If you want to support the work of the ACLJ, it's a great time to do it as we head to the end of this month. Go to aclj.org, scan the QR code you see on the screen right now if you're watching, and make a donation while we are in break. That's going to happen. We'll be back in just a minute. But that's a perfect enough time to do that. You can also download the brand new ACLJ app, available in the App Store at aclj.org.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Seculo. Of course, we are talking about the news item at hand, which is that someone in Gaza who was holding hostages was also a writer and was being essentially funded by a U.S.-based nonprofit while telling his hostages, who are now free and he is dead, telling his hostages, by the way, I'm using this pipeline, and that pipeline is to really organize what's going on college campuses, organize the media to hate the Jewish people, to hate the Israeli people, and it's going to work. And sadly, he was right. Now, he's no longer with us, because when they went to go free these hostages, obviously they took the life of these captors, as they probably should have. Phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. Robert's calling from Maryland on line one. I want to go ahead and kick it off with Robert and CeCe Hiles joining us in studio. Robert, go ahead.
I wanted to ask you one question to make a comment. First, it's the question, is Hamas using a college publication on college campuses in addition to the nonprofit to spread and foment hatred against Jews in Israel? The question I also have is Israel continuing their war against Hamas in Gaza to destroy them politically and militarily?
Yeah, I mean, to give you an update right now, I mean, we're still in the middle of a ceasefire, but there are definitely talks that is falling apart actively. Obviously, we hope all the hostages are freed, the war can come to an end. Sadly, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. It looks like this coming weekend may be the end of the ceasefire.
And that was the first round of it, because remember, it was supposed to be a three-tiered ceasefire. During this first tier, while they were exchanging hostages or prisoners from the Israelis that were holding terrorists and the hostages held by Hamas, what we were expecting to see, or what was in the plan, was that there would be a second phase agreed upon. Hamas hasn't really lived up to the bargain, so doesn't look like that will go forward. But to your first question, have they infiltrated like campus publications? I don't know that we, and maybe we will as we continue to fight this in the legal system, see a direct tie, but we know that they're at least one organizing
at a minimum,
and using propaganda to get people riled up, foment hatred, and you've seen violence because of this.
Yeah.
So that is material support for terrorism in the United States. And if you know, we know what the Attorney General is saying that the Trump administration will do, thankfully. But yes, I think that they have very successfully used their propaganda arms and coordinating tactics to further that on college campuses in the U.S.
Yeah, at a minimum, they've infiltrated the minds, and therefore can infiltrate the publications or whatever it may be, or the websites, the social media posts. They've done a good job at that. But these captors and these people are fighting back in the law, and CeCe Howe is joining us as well to discuss that and how the ACLJ could get involved in similar and how we're involved in similar situations.
Yeah, so I'm just going to address that caller's statement, too, that, you know, we did have a statement from this journalist terrorist that Hamas was in contact and actively coordinating with its affiliates, plural, in the media and on college campuses. So I think we can just assume that, yes, these college campuses have Hamas sympathizers and possibly members of Hamas actively engaging to sway the sympathies and, you know, turn people against Israel. But we have a case where now three of the hostages that were held, the Israeli hostages that were held by this journalist, I use that term loosely, the terrorists, Al-Jamal, they have filed in federal court in Washington state. And the case was initially dismissed by the judge there, saying that there was insufficient evidence to prove that the defendants, you know, this Palestine Chronicle that resides in Washington state in the United States, that they didn't have enough evidence to prove that they were aware that Al-Jamal was a Hamas operative. But they did give, the judge did give the plaintiffs a chance to file an amended complaint, which they did. They added two more captives, Israeli captives that were held. And they argue, I think, very well that they did know that he was previously, Al-Jamal was previously a spokesperson for the Hamas-run labor ministry in Gaza. He was open about his affiliation with the terror group. He was appearing publicly in Arabic media as a spokesperson and posting Hamas graphics and photos of his son wearing a Hamas headband on social media. And he began writing for the Palestine Chronicle in 2019 while he was still serving as a spokesperson for Hamas. So they definitely did have knowledge that he was part of Hamas. So I hope that this case goes forward and that they actually win against this this U.S.-based company.
And CeCe, we also are taking action in a similar but separate legal matter, and that's that we filed just days ago at the U.S. Supreme Court fighting back against how both Hamas and the Palestinian Liberation Organization, the PLO, operate and fund and further terror against Israel, and in many cases against American citizens as well. Tell our audience what the ACLJ is doing in the legal system to fight back.
Yeah, so we just filed an amicus brief in a case that deals with the Federal Anti-Terrorism Act of 2019, which that allows terrorists basically to be brought to U.S. courts when there are acts against United States citizens done by international terrorists. And they actually are able then to sue in U.S. courts and get treble damages. That means triple damages. And so this case is going up to the Supreme Court for the Supreme Court to decide, because the Second Circuit has decided that there has to be more kind of a quid pro quo of something given for something taken. And so the fact that they have to have personal jurisdiction, and Congress passed this act, and we argue and support that there is enough sufficient evidence for personal jurisdiction, because they have basically consented to due process, because they pay, when they're paying terrorists to kill American citizens, that is consent, and they know that. And then the fact that they also maintain offices in the United States and conduct activities here, that is enough for us to have personal jurisdiction and pursue going after the PLO and the PA when they kill a United States citizen.
And look, that's why the ACLJ is on it, and why it's important to support our work, because you have people like CeCe who are going to make sure we're taking the correct path, that we are putting in the effort, and we have the team in place to do that. I want to continue taking some calls. Let's go to Keith, who's calling in Florida. Online too. Of course, if you want to support the work of the ACLJ, just go to ACLJ.org. But Keith, you're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead, Keith.
Yeah, I just turned on TV and I just caught your
Keith, I think we're having some connection problems. We'll put you back on hold and see. I know what Keith's question was. Keith said, how long has it been going on since October 7th? I would say that's been going on well before October 7th. October 7th may have exposed a lot of what was happening, but this is what's been happening for years.
Well, we know that this individual began writing for the Palestine Chronicle in 2019. So that is well before October 7th. So that way you know that there's a strategy obviously in place. And I think that also it can't be lost how dangerous it is, even as a national security moment that we're looking at here, because when they say Hamas was in contact and actively coordinating with its affiliates in the media and on college campuses, not just its allies,
right,
its affiliates, that conjures up images of what ISIS would do when they would infiltrate small cells and get mass acts of violence carried out in the United States, in Europe, all of these things directed abroad or inspired abroad and then carried out on the homeland. And so what you are seeing in these protests where violence is carried out, terrorizing Jewish students or students that support Israel, those are many acts of terrorism, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? Do you think that, would you agree with Will? 1-800-684-3110. I want to hear from you how we can support people who care about Israel in America. So give us a call, as I said, at 1-800-684-3110. When we get back from the break, we are going to discuss a bit on our fight for life, what's going on, what's new, and tease a little bit of what's going to be coming next week. So you want to stay tuned for that, because you've heard about our campaign that we've been working on in the state of Massachusetts, and sadly, we're finding out some pretty disturbing facts that the Massachusetts campaign against these pro-life pregnancy resource centers has been successful. But that is why it's going to be so important for us to fight back. And we're going to need immense resources to do that. So again, we're just teasing because next week is going to be a bigger launch. But ACLJ.org, you can support the work right now and do that. I do want to take as many calls as we can. So if you want to call in, this is a great time to do it at 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. And we'll later on in the broadcast, we have a special guest, Majid El-Shafi, who has a really interesting story. And he has a brand new film out, and it all kind of ties into what we're talking about.
That's right. He was born in Egypt, was arrested, tortured, and sentenced to die after converting from Islam to Christianity. But he also has a new film out about October 7th that's really important. So stick around. You don't want to miss that. But we'll be back after this break with more.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. You know, I've been asking you guys to become ACLJ champions. I really believe in that cause, because what we're able to do if you become an ACLJ champion, which all that is someone that says, hey, essentially like a subscriber, you give a monthly amount, you pick how much that is. I think our minimum's $5 just because of processing fees. But beyond that, you can do $5, you can do $500. It doesn't matter where you land on there. Everyone becomes an ACLJ champion. You get a special access on our app. You get special priority treatment when you call in. And of course, you're supporting the work and giving us a great baseline here at the ACLJ. We'll be right back.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Secula. Phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. You know what? Let's go ahead and take this call right off the top. Let's see what happens here. Paul's calling in Wyoming on line one. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Well, yeah, I just kind of have a lot of notes on this. I've been really, you know, reading scripture, and, you know, a lot of people are like, well, you know, the scripture says, you know, we got to stand with Israel. But, you know, I just want to address America, and it says, you know, Americans must stand for truth, not just sides, you know. This is not a time for blind allegiance to either Israel or Palestine, you know. Instead, we must stand together for righteousness. You know, America must be a peacemaker, not a warmonger. Endless war in the Middle East, I mean, it's draining us. Our resources, counting lives, it's destabilizing regions. Our involvement should be driven by political gain or military contracts. Blessing Israel doesn't mean endorsing every military action. Just as helping the oppressed doesn't mean justifying terrorism.
Paul,
America must defend.
I know you got more to say, and you're reading here, but Paul, it's okay. I actually don't disagree with you in that, which is, of course, we're not supposed to just turn a blind eye to anything that's going on. Now, I will say, I think there's pretty clear evil happening in the Hamas situation. I mean, look at that funeral procession last week of the babies, and how can you not look at it and go, well, clearly there is a good and a bad side here. Now, can a government and make strikes that I feel like are inappropriate or too far or whatever? Of course, I feel like America has done that. America's gotten themselves into messes, of course, throughout our entire existence that I don't know if they were justifiably morally. Now, when it comes to the Israel-Gaza situation, there is no one that would want peace more than the Israeli people. And I don't mean just the Israeli government. I'm talking about the people. People, because look, if you go to Israel, it is a wide gamut of political points of view. There are conservatives, there are liberals. It would be like saying that everyone who's in America supports President Trump or supported President Biden if you were just going to say, well, that's who they elected. Yeah, but they're still electing it in a pretty, it's a pretty close race.
And it's a coalition government many times where it's not just the one party. It's that they have to get other parties together to even get the prime ministership. But Paul, I think that if you hear us talk, if you watch the films we've put out, we are not calling for war lightly.
No.
or many times ever. But when you look at the situation there and you contrast an open and free society in Israel that allows freedom of religion, freedom of association, many things that line up with American values. Yeah. And then you look at what their neighbor is that is constantly trying to kill them, launching rockets.
And kill their own people.
And kill their own people. Don't allow you to have freedom of religion. Don't allow you to have freedom of speech. Throw you off the buildings. They are a very tribalistic terrorist group that will kill with no reason at all except for hate. And I think that when you look at the disproportionate the attacks that happen from Gaza on Israel consistently, and then you add on top of that what they were wanting to do the entire time are things like October 7th, where they kidnapped a 9-month-old baby and a 2-month-old baby or a 2-year-old baby and murdered them and held on to their bodies for well over a year.
Yeah.
And then returned them. And then still played mind games by not releasing the body of their deceased mother. That is evil. And that is,
and then
yes,
they did do it.
That's an anecdote. Right. It's not like they didn't have the body of the mother to release. They did it 12 hours later after they were called out.
I don't know if that's been discussed. You know, we definitely didn't talk about it here, but there were reports, obviously, that, you know, the Bibas family, the two children were transferred and they were not able to identify the body that they claimed to be the mother. And they said, this was not her. And this was not even a hostage. Israel called him out, said this is a violation of your ceasefire. And then a few hours later, or maybe within a day later, miraculously they had that body, which is again, incredibly disturbing. It's incredibly sad that this is who you're negotiating with. So you got to remember, Israel is negotiating a peace deal where hundreds of people are being traded for bodies at this point. Bodies of Israelis, of Israeli children, Israeli parents, babies. And they still are having to act like this is some sort of normal negotiation. When you have a United States on your side, I understand that there is that, you know, when you see those moments, there's that guttural instinct where you're like, okay, it's like 9/11. You're like, it's wartime. Let's go at it. Yes, I think you're right. Do we need to be peacekeepers? Do we need to be trying to end war? Yeah, I think this is happening in Russia and Ukraine. I don't necessarily agree with everything President Trump has said or doing or what he's saying, but a lot of that is negotiation. A lot of that is the tactics that he's using, because you know what the goal is? The goal is to end the war. The goal is to stop death, senseless death. And whether that means you got to negotiate with people you don't want to, or you got to, you know, you be political the way you talk, most of us are smart enough to realize that this is just negotiation. This is just the tactics that we have to take, because for years, whether that's in Gaza for decades, or whether that's in Russia and Ukraine for the last 3 years, what has, you know, been happening has not worked. Go ahead.
Yeah, and to piggyback off of that, it's that the world seems to think that negotiations are between two generically moral entities, right? Like, there's one side that has these goals, this side has these goals, but, you know, in the grand scheme of things, like, let's not pick a side, let's just let them work it out, and then we'll get peace. There will be no peace with Hamas in Gaza, ever. No matter how many ceasefire deals, peace treaties, you cannot have peace when their very charter calls for genocide of Jews. They call for the destruction of Israel in their governing document, the equivalent to our Constitution. That is what they are guided by. So no matter what deal they make or what temporary ceasefire they make and then break, they will never come to peace until they are gone. And so the biggest problem is, for decades, the world has held Israel back and said, you can't wipe out Hamas because you can't go into Gaza. Israel left Gaza, and Hamas was elected by the people of Gaza. That's history. They were elected in Gaza. So the ideology is pervasive throughout the entire society. And there's a reason that Egypt and Jordan and other states in the region don't want to take Palestinians as refugees into their country, because they know that ideology is autocratic. Yeah. It wants to take over.
It's rooted.
And it would be also toxic in their society. So people need to forget all this business about, like, they just need to come to peace and realize that will never happen.
Yeah. Yeah, almost,
when Hamas is around.
In our heads, we almost treat it, I think because of the border situation and everything, we almost treat it like the American Civil War. Like, we look at it that way. But it is not that way. You are talking about a war that is far from a civil war. You're talking about a government versus what will end up being a terrorist regime and a guerrilla warfare. You know, to get rid of it completely is going to be nearly impossible, because it is built in, like you said, to the whole conflict that's been going on for thousands of years. Now, I think President Trump has pitched some very interesting ideas. I think some of these other countries in the Middle East, because, by the way, this is not a slamming of people. There are great people, great Islamic, Muslim, Arabs all across the world who are wanting peace. And we need to work with those countries to secure peace in Israel and in Gaza and make sure that this comes to an end permanently. We have a second half hour coming up. I want you to join us. If you don't get us on your local station, we're broadcasting live every day from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Work your way back on ACLJ.org, YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, X. We are broadcasting on all those platforms. And make sure you become an ACLJ champion while you're at it. Support the work of the ACLJ right now. We'll be back again. Majid El-Shafi joining us in the second half.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo again. Second half hour of our broadcast coming up. We got special guest Majid Al-Shafi. He's got a new film again. This is someone who has escaped a lot of this kind of issues going on in the Middle East simply because he was a convert to Christianity. And he has a brand new movie out. We're going to discuss that. It's with some of our favorite platforms. But phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. We are currently talking about the situation happening in Israel and in Gaza. Obviously, it's been front page news, it feels like, for the last 16, 17 months that this war, the war has been going on for thousands of years, if we're really looking at it. But this exact war happening for the last year and a half or so, again, as hostages are released, last week we saw the horrific footage of that parade of babies, bodies of babies through the streets of Gaza. And we know the mind games that are being played right now. And sadly, we may be looking towards an end to the ceasefire this weekend. We will see what happens. I pray and hope not. Because look, as much as I think that Hamas needs to be wiped out, and I do believe they do, we also have to make sure that senseless death is not happening. But it's a shame. It's really a sad place that we're at right now. Well, I'm sure we'll have our team from ACLJ Jerusalem joining us in the next few days to discuss that. I believe they're traveling back there right now. I'd love to hear from you, though. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Carrie, who's calling in California. On line one, Carrie, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for having me. So I was listening to you on the radio, and I don't think a lot of people, like the populations of a lot of well-to-do countries, realize that the word for Hamas is translated into violence.
Yeah, Carrie, a lot of people have heard that because you can find that word being used over and over again, right. Even biblically.
Right. And one other thing to piggyback off of that, I want to read some from the Hamas Covenant of 1988. So this is their governing document. It's not a 1,000-year-old document. This is 1988.
Yeah, it's not even a 40-year-old document.
This is from Article 7. The Prophet, Allah bless him and grant him salvation, has said, "The day of judgment will not come until Muslims fight the Jews, killing the Jews. And when the Jew will hide behind stones and trees, the stones and trees will say, 'O Muslims, O Abdullah, there is a Jew behind me. Come and kill him.'" And then in Article 8, their slogan, "Allah is its target, the Prophet is its model, the Quran its constitution, jihad is its path, and death for the sake of Allah is the loftiest of its wishes." That's what they believe. That is who
That's the governing
Israel
document.
Has to negotiate with to get hostages back. There will never be peace with Hamas, ever, ever. When you hear those words, you know what they believe and why they exist. It's to kill Jews and eliminate Israel.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is a really stirring thing to hear because it almost sounds like something from Borat. Like, it sounds like a parody. It doesn't sound real that is their governing documents for what they consider to be a legitimate elected government. I think that's also you need to understand is I don't know if they have free and fair elections going on in Gaza, but this is an elected government. These are the people put in place, Hamas, who is doing this and who has been torturing, by the way, also their own people. Because it's kind of part of the tradition. If you read through this, it's insane. We're going to be joined by Majid Al-Shafi in the next segment. You're not going to want to miss that. Again, he's got a brand new movie out. We're going to discuss how you can see it and why it's important right now. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ today at aclj.org. But I would love to hear from you because we're going to try to take as many calls as we possibly can coming up. Again, 1-800-684-3110. I'm going to ask you to support the work of the ACLJ, as I always do, but we are headed towards the end of the month. This is a great time to become a champion of the ACLJ. Become a recurring member. Do it right now. It's tax deductible. You set the price, what you feel comfortable with, whether it's $5 or $500 a month. You can do it right now at aclj.org. We'll be right back with special guest Majid Al-Shafi.
The The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Seculo. I said we're going to be joined by a special guest, and we are. This is Majid El-Shafi, who has been on this broadcast before. It's been someone we've worked with some throughout the years. Majid, welcome to the show, but I also wanted to give our audience who may be new to you, who don't know your background, give them a little bit of your story. And then, of course, you've made a brand new movie. If you're watching on our Rumble feed or our YouTube feed, you just saw a trailer for it. We'll have that to show later on. But let's give people some, our audience here, a brief background of you and then why you made this movie.
Well, my name is Majid El-Shafi. I was born in Egypt from a Muslim family. And in very young age, I can see the issues with Islam as a religion. And in the age of 18, I converted to Christianity. I was arrested by the Egyptian authority. I was tortured very severely. I received the death penalty. And I stole a jet ski and I crossed the border, escaping from Egypt to Israel. And through the intervention of Amnesty International and the UN, I was able to be a free man. And now I'm in Canada, Toronto, as the head of One Free World International. And an organization was built to help people used to be in the same location or position like myself. When October 7 happened, I believe that God used Israel to save my life when I escaped from Egypt to Israel. And I felt it's my duty to return the favor. And I went, after October 7, immediately, I went to Israel to document the issues, the writing report, human rights report about what's happened with October 7, the reaction of the international world, the fact-finding mission about exactly what evidence were against crimes against humanity that we saw that committed by Hamas against the Israelis. And the documentary Dying to Live, it was extremely important in order for us to show the world what's happening and stop this movement of propaganda and anti-Semitism that we see around us today. And I felt that as an Egyptian Christian, I have a duty here to speak the truth, only the truth.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something that is really obviously close to the heart of our audience here. When they hear about this, Israel has always played a big part in the Jewish people. And when you get to hear stories like yours, you're really seeing what is being uncovered. And Dying to Live, it's told from your perspective. Again, like you said, as a non-Jewish person, says that even in the trailer. What is important to you that everyone understands about this crisis more than just supporting Israel or more than just supporting the Jewish people? Why is this a worldwide issue for you and for our audience that may not feel as emotionally connected to what's happening there?
When we started the movie, and I started with a Canadian director, amazing one, Chris Atkins of One Media, and the vision of the movie is to show the truth. And within our investigation, we found that there is two perspectives that was shocking to us. Number one, how the people in Gaza reacted to October 7th, how the Palestinians themselves saw this as a victory. None of them saw this as an issue or a crime or what's happened to the civilians, the rape, the killing, the kidnapping that took place, the children that Hamas killed. None of them saw an issue with this. The second thing that we found is how the international community reacting to this. And we saw these demonstrations and this wave of anti-Semitism, not just in our streets, but even in our respectful universities and schools. And these people that demonstrated, they failed to answer one simple question. They said that they are demonstrating for ceasefire, for the Palestinians' rights, for the social dignity, and so on and so forth of the Palestinians. Where have you been when Bashar al-Assad was killing his own people? Where have you been when Iran was killing their own people because a woman just chew a little bit here? Where have you been when Saudi Arabia attacked Yemen and killed hundreds of thousands of innocents? Where have you been when China took a Muslim Uyghurs and put them in a concentration camp? Why did it not come out for demonstrating that? So this is anti-Semitism. This is purely anti-Semitism. Let me just make this very clear. And there is the old anti-Semitism and the new anti-Semitism. The old anti-Semitism, hate the Jews, kill the Jews. That's Hitler's speeches to you. But the new anti-Semitism, you take the word Jews and you put in instead of them Israel or Zionists. And that will be the new anti-Semitism that we see right now in our media and in our streets.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and you bring up in our media, and what we've seen is very powerful anti-Semitic propaganda, anti-Israel propaganda. There was a very brief period after October 7th where it seemed like the world was shocked by what happened. And then after that, immediately, they flipped and went forward with the anti-Semitic narrative. We see that that's a problem. We know that we have to combat it with media like yours, like your film, like what we do on this broadcast. But what did you make of that after that brief shock moment from the world and then turning the page and once again attacking Israel?
It took 3-4 days. I just want to make this very clear. So this period that you are talking about, the shock that the world was kind of, you know, supporting Israel, it took 3 days. But the issue that we are facing is not just the rising of the anti-Semitism, is the lack of the politically correctness that we see, the lack of the truth. And politically correctness is the very cancer in our Canadian or American society. You have to understand that. That's how our society will collapse, politically correctness. While the people dying, and the Muslim extremist is taking over Syria, Libya, taking over the majority of the Middle East, the people is worried about what Hamas. Now, they come and they tell you, for example, let me just tell you how the people lost their mind or how the media really lost their mind. They tell you 46,000 Palestinian was killed, civilian Palestinians. You ask them, how did you get these numbers? They tell you, oh, from Hamas health ministry.
Right.
So you are willing to believe an organization that they are a terrorist organization. You are willing to believe their numbers. Let's assume me and you right now. Let's assume me and you that this number is correct. How do you know that they are civilians? How you don't know that maybe 80% of them Hamas fighters, Hamas terrorist fighters? How do you know? When you echo by International Court of Justice, when you are echo with the international institution that's supposed to be unbiased, and there was 100% bias against Israel and the Jewish people, now you tell me, where have we go here wrong? Where? We have to wake up, because today is Israel and the Jewish people, the Moors will be the Christians and others.
Yeah, absolutely. Majin, thank you so much for stating what you just said. It was really important. I think our audience needs to hear it. I think it's resonating. I can see in the comments a lot of people are asking about the film and how they can see this movie. Again, it's available now, but can you tell people how they can watch it and why they feel like you should share it with your friends and everything? Because, again, it's a different perspective than what a lot of maybe the pro-Israel audience usually hears. You know, like I said, it's usually our Jewish friends who are out there talking about it, our Christian friends. But you have such a unique story, and that movie is available right now, Dying to Live.
It's all over the Rumble and Salem, and you can go to our website as well, onefreeworldinternational.org, and you can see, you can always communicate with us. The most important than the movie, listen to me. I know that the people listening right now, and this is my last second. The most important than the movie, there is one last message I need to tell all of you that listening to us. The people that they are facing the persecution, Christians or Jews or whatever minorities, you have to understand that they are dying, but they're still smiling. They are in very deep, dark night, but they still have the candle of the living God. Believe me when I tell you, Hamas and a terrorist organization like them, they have a lot of weapons. They have a big army, but we have the Lord Almighty. They can kill the believers, but they cannot kill the belief of our hearts. They can kill the dreamer, but no one can kill the dream. Thank you for having me, sir.
Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Again, as he said, you can find that movie, Dying to Live, on Rumble. Our friends over at Rumble set that up. Again, they did our movie last year, and now they got his movie because I think they're providing great sort of pay-per-view options you can rent, buy, as well as you can find it on different platforms as well. We'll make sure we put a link to it. But thank you so much for joining us. And look, in the next segment of the show, we are going to take as many calls as we can, as well as have a special video presentation I want you to see. So stay tuned. Give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go quickly to Robert in D.C. Let's go ahead and take his call as we head into this break.
Next segment of the show, we are
going to listening to the radio. Put him back on hold. Unfortunately, Robert.
You got to be ready.
You got to be ready. You got to be listening. You got to be listening.
We play it through the phone for you.
Yeah.
You don't have to listen on the radio. You just hold your phone, your Bluetooth. You'll hear it.
Well, hey, everyone. We urgently need your support right now. You heard really what we're doing. And, of course, we're going to continue on. We didn't dive into our fight for life. But we're going to get into that coming up in the next few days and really in the month of March. And we want you to be a part of that. You can get in early, though. Become an ACLJ champion right now at ACLJ.org. And like I said, you can call in at 1-800-684-3110. Do we have that special video presentation coming up? All right, we're going to have a special presentation coming up in the next segment, so stay tuned. We'll set that up. If you want to know the facts so you can tell your friends why you support Israel, this is a great informative piece you're going to see coming up, as well as we'll try to get to some calls. We'll see if we can get any in. But we'll be right back with more on Seculo.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
To Seculo, I did want to play a very special video presentation. This is something that we had done last year that our team put together called The Myth of Palestine. Really gives you a really deep dive informational video that will kind of give you all the facts you need to support your support of Israel. So when your friends come at you, you have a way to push back against it. And I thought, as I was watching and hearing from Majid El-Shafi and other people, that I thought this would be a good video to play right now. So we'll be back to wrap up the show in just a minute. But stay tuned and watch this special video presentation.
The myth of Palestine is a dangerous and false narrative being perpetuated by those who seek to harm the Jewish people. This narrative intentionally overlooks the thousands of years of history and the rightful ownership of the land by the Jewish people. It ignores the repeated attempts by Israel to make peace and the ongoing attacks and aggression from terrorist organizations like Hamas. We must not be deceived by this attempt to erase the Jewish people from their homeland. Following is the true history of Israel and the so-called Palestine. We begin with Israel beginning in 1800 BC. Abraham heard the call of God and followed it to the land between the Mediterranean Sea and the Jordan River, the Promised Land. Shortly after, the Egyptians enslaved nearly all of the Israelites, and it wasn't until 500 years later that their descendants were able to return to the Promised Land. From then on, this region had a long history of conquest and power struggles, with Jerusalem at the center. From the time of King David's rule in 1004 BC to the Roman conquest in 63 BC, the city endured numerous shifts in power and the destruction and rebuilding of temples. 70 years later, the Romans drove nearly all Jews out of Israel, forcing them to scatter across the world. It wasn't until circa AD 136 the name Palestine first appeared after the Romans named part of Judea, Syria, Palestina to erase the Jewish presence in the land. Throughout the ensuing centuries, the region of Jerusalem continued to be subject to numerous conquests. In AD 638, Arab Muslims took control. Centuries later, Christian crusaders claimed the city, only to be defeated by Saladin, the Muslim Sultan of Egypt and Syria in AD 1187. The region then fell under the rule of the Ottoman Empire, Turks, in AD 1517, until 400 years later, when during the Great War in 1917, the British Empire conquered the region. The British made a public pledge, the Balfour Declaration, which aimed to establish a national home for the Jewish people in the area still known by the Roman name Palestine. Then in 1922, 4 years after the war ended, the League of Nations created the mandate for Palestine to reconstitute a national home for the Jewish people. The region was redrawn into what is now modern-day Israel, the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, and the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan. Only 22% was left to create the Jewish state. Then, just over a decade later, from 1933 to 1945, the Nazi Party took power in Germany and massacred almost two-thirds of Europe's Jewish population. 6 million Jews. After World War II in 1947, the United Nations adopted the Partition Resolution, a two-state solution to create another Arab state and a Jewish state in the remaining mandate territory reserved for the Jews. In order to have peace with their Arab neighbors, the Jews accepted, but the Arabs rejected it and invaded Israel, which began the Arab-Israeli War of 1948. No state of Palestine was created. The state of Israel was. Over the following decades, the Middle East was marked by ongoing conflicts between Israel and its Arab neighbors. In 1964, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, also known as the PLO, was founded, whose ultimate goal was the destruction of Israel. In 1967, the Six-Day War was waged by surrounding Arab countries. That's when the West Bank and the Gaza Strip became a part of Israel. Then the 1973 attack on Yom Kippur began. In 1987, the terrorist organization Hamas was founded by members of the Muslim Brotherhood. That same year, Hamas began waging jihad, holy war, during the First Intifada against Israel in order to wipe out all Jews. Between 1993 and 1995, Israel and the PLO made agreements for a peaceful resolution to the Arab-Israeli conflict. These agreements granted self-governance to the Arab populations of the Gaza Strip and West Bank in exchange for peace with Israel. Instead of peace, militants from the Gaza Strip and the West Bank continued their attacks against Israel. From 2000 to 2005, the Palestinians began a wave of terrorist attacks called the Second Intifada. Remember what this means: the eradication of Jews. So in 2005, yet another attempt to achieve peace was made, and Israel left Gaza, even though Gaza is a rightful part of Israel. In 2012, the UN General Assembly agreed to change the PLO's membership status at the UN from an observer organization to that of a non-member state with observer status. Observers generally have a limited ability to participate in the IGO, lacking the ability to vote or propose resolutions. Then, on October 7, 2023, the world was shaken by the horrific actions of Hamas as they launched a vicious attack on Israel. The death toll rose to over 1,300 innocent lives, including men, women, children, the elderly, and even infants. The atrocities committed by the attackers were unspeakable. Women were raped, dead bodies were desecrated, and over 240 people were taken hostage. What history clearly illustrates is that Israel did not steal any land from the Palestinians. In fact, there has never been a state of Palestine. The Romans gave the name to the area that includes modern-day Israel, the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, and the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan. This land was stolen from the Jewish people, just as it had been for millennia before. Learn more at aclj.org/defendisrael.
Yeah, you can learn a lot more by going there. We appreciate everyone for joining us today. I wanted to take a minute, though, and say, number one, thank you for all of you that supported the ACLJ during this broadcast and all of you who do later on, because I know a lot of you watch this show later on archived. Hopefully that just gave you a lot of facts. Hopefully that gave you a lot of information. So when you're, you know, at dinner with your friends and they push back, you have a resource. There's incredible resources available on aclj.org. None of it's behind a paywall. It's all available to you absolutely no charge. Of course, that doesn't happen without supporters who give, because we want to have the best writers, the best producers to put out the incredible content, the best legal team. We can't do that without your financial support. So I encourage you to do that at aclj.org. But you don't have to get all the great content that we provide, all the great resources and information. Go spend some time on there. Download the ACLJ app. Subscribe on our YouTube channel. Subscribe on Rumble. It's a great way to keep engaged, but also to get, again, those facts so you know how you can best defend yourself, because it's easy to get caught up in the lies, get caught up in the web. But hopefully we are here at the ACLJ on this broadcast on Seculo to give you all the information you need. Thank you again for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow again, so make sure you call us tomorrow. We'd love to hear from you. Go to aclj.org right now to support the work, and we'll talk to you then.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.